So yesterday I was with a colleague and we were having a great morning, really sweet person. And as we were going through work, getting to know each other a little bit as well, we're driving along and I say, "What about you? So tell me a little bit about yourself." And this woman says, "Well, I have a wife. We've been married 13 years. We have a 6-year-old. And we live in this or that city." So immediately, you know, I've had this morning with this really special person, really kind lady, but now she's letting me know she's married to another woman. They have a kid. As we drive along, we have about 5 miles left to work. And I'm just, you know, I'm humbled by these things. You know, I believe that homosexuality is wrong according to the Bible. Some key verses are Romans 1, 26 to 27, 1 Timothy 1, 8 to 11, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 1 Corinthians 6, 18, and Leviticus 18, 22, and 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Just, you know, we're not our own. But as God has grown me in this, you know, it has to be framed in wisdom, in love. When you meet someone else in sin, heterosexual sin, people who are living with other people outside of marriage, we don't confront the sin as our very first thing. So we shouldn't do it on a topic of homosexuality either. And we don't segregate ourselves from people that we know are in sins, even sexual sins, like, again, premarital sex or some kind of promiscuity. So it's the same thing with homosexuality. In the context of God's love, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, you know, and the context of God's path of repentance, 1 John 1, 9, Romans 8, 1, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, we need the Holy Spirit in our relationships and in our testimony with people who identify as homosexuals. However, it's the exact same pivot point and the exact same conviction. These things are outlined as by God as wrong. We believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is repentance and faith. Mark 1:15. So just with our confidence, our identity in God, we rest. We pray. We ask God to open doors. We ask God to lead us in our testimony with homosexuals as we do with anyone else. Now, I was blessed because I let go. I let God. But as she'd gotten to know me a little bit and something of my faith, just how I raised my kids, and, you know, I named Jesus in my identity that morning. And God used that because within 5 miles, 5 minutes, we're pulling back into work. And this girl turns to me and she goes, "Okay." She goes, "As a Christian, as an evangelical Christian," she goes, "what do you make of my homosexuality? How can I be a Christian? Can I know God?" And my friends, it was extraordinary. One, that God opened this door immediately, that as I had identified with Jesus by God's grace, there was a spirit and a safe place there for this woman to open the door to me. That was God's doing. Praise God. So I just gently told her, I said, "Well, you know, it's a tough question." I said, "I know it's a big deal." I told her, though, you know, according to the Bible, I do believe homosexuality is something that God identifies as not his way, as sinful. And, you know, but I believe God loves you. I believe I'm as much of a sinner as anyone else. So, you know, it's not a condemnation thing, but it is a truth thing that I believe, yes, the Bible speaks to this lifestyle. And she goes, "Okay, well, I mean, how can I repent if I have to disown my very self?" And I said, "Listen, I said, you know, God loves you. And, you know, I would really strongly encourage you to carve out some time to take this question directly to God. God, your Father, go to him and say, 'Look, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that.'" I said, "Pick up a gospel of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, written by simple men. Pick one up and say, 'Okay, Lord, if you're real, come off the page, speak to me.'" I said, "Put your whole issue of homosexuality to the side for a minute and just come to him as a God who loves you and give him the honor and make the sacrifice to read his word." What's really interesting is she initially goes, "Oh, well, I don't believe the Bible because it's, you know, written by men, and there's all these falsifications, and there's all this lost in translation." I said, "Oh," and we had a lighthearted moment. I said, "Oh, well, if you don't believe in the Bible," I said, "you have nothing to worry about. I mean, why would you even worry about what Jesus says or what I think Jesus says if you don't even believe he's real?" I mean, we were laughing. But I said, "Listen," she goes, "no, so now in your framework, can I come to Jesus or am I condemned to hell? Am I condemned to hell for my lifestyle?" I said, "Look, God gives me so much in scripture to point people to Jesus, the door. John 10:9, I am the door. He who comes through me will be saved. But when it comes to judging people, saying who's in, who's out, God doesn't allow me to make those calls or really speak to that. He gives me a sign to point to him for salvation, but he does not give me license to say, if this, then that, if you, then you, you know, you in, you out. I can't make that call, but I can point and say, Jesus said he's the door. Jesus calls for repentance. Jesus says through the door of salvation." She goes, "It sounds to me like you're just trying to avoid making a call." I said, "You know, honestly, I feel this is what's truthful, is that I point you to God." And I said, "Look, if you open the scriptures and read them like you've never read them before, pick a gospel and cry out to this God and say, 'Lord, if you've written this, if this is about you, speak to my heart, come off the page, speak to me.'" I said, "If you clear the courts to spend time with God, he will clear the courts to spend time with you and he will speak to you." She said, "Well, what's he going to say? Am I going to like hear a voice?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "It will never have been spoken before. It will be God the Father to you through his word, by his Holy Spirit. It's unscripted. It's very exciting." She smiled and she goes, "I think you're avoiding the topic." I said, no, I'm just trying to really usher you into God, to ask God about this and to go to his word. And I said, "I would love to hear if you do that, even in bite sizes. I'd love to hear back, and you're amazing." You know, we ended up with a big smile, a high five. It was incredible. It was of God. And my friends, I just want to share with you, God is on the move. Here's what we have to do. Hold tight to your identity in Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be compromising on the gospel of repentance and faith. That's the gospel. Get to know it. It's the truth. Don't be afraid of what God has taught us in terms of what's right and wrong. I mean, this is who we are. We're citizens of heaven, Philippians 3:20. We follow Jesus. We believe he is the King. That's who we are. Just own it, hold it, and then just wait on God to open doors and to facilitate your bold, but your quiet and your gentle testimony. God did it for me yesterday. I was so blessed. I hope you're blessed too. Hold to the gospel. Seek his wisdom. Love people. Let the Lord help us with our testimony, but let's be true to our testimony. God bless you.